listening, open to God, loving. Where do you get such a heart? Where do you get such an attitude? Where do you get that spirit? God says, I will give it to you.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about sin. Are you able to say no to sin? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren, encouraging us to say yes to God. Thanks for listening.
So we call it multitasking, where, you know, we're juggling 3 or 4 or 7 or 100 things at one time and thinking that we're doing it efficiently and effectively. Experts say that's a lie. Experts call it switch tasking, not multitasking. They infer that we're not doing all these things at one time effectively. They're inferring that we can only actually, in reality, do one thing at a time. So let me ask you this, kids, have you ever seen someone juggling? Right, juggling something? What is the most amount of things, kids, that you've seen someone juggle? 2 or 3? More maybe? 7, 10? 100? I don't know. How about this, kids? What's the most dangerous thing you've seen someone juggle? Right, tell someone in your family, the most dangerous thing you've seen someone juggle. Kids, tell mom or dad or sister or brother. Tell them. Okay, I've seen swords, I've seen knives, I've seen chainsaws. And one guy tried bowling balls. That didn't work that well. So let's say that a juggler is juggling three knives, or maybe 7 plates from your kitchen cupboards, or maybe 3 knives and 7 plates. Oh, and they're up there and he's trying. He cannot pay full attention to all 10 of those items at the same time in an effective way. That juggler must pay most attention to the ones that land in his hands. He feels them. He's not always watching them, but he feels them. He throws them back up. And then the timing and the position and the height, he's giving the most attention to what lands in his hands, and the rest are up in the air. So everyone, I have this question for you. In life right now, what are you grabbing onto? And what are you leaving up in the air? See, Paul in Ephesians 4 presents this. When you say yes to something, so people on this side of the church, you said yes to sitting on this side of the church. When you said yes to sitting on this side of the church, guess what? You said no to, that side of the church. And when you decided to sit on this side of the church, you said no to those judgmental people over there, right? Okay, see, so when we say yes to something, we say no to something else. When we say no to something, we say yes to something else. So the big question for today, what are you saying yes to? And what are you saying no to? That's where we go. So let's start out with these options. Right here in Ephesians 4, I'm going to give you a list. This is right from Ephesians 4. Listen carefully. How about this for some options? Say yes or no to these things. Futility, like impulse buying something that you don't need and it doesn't really matter. Darkened in understanding, ignorance, like not being more capable in our Bible knowledge. Impurity, greed, falsehood, a little white lie. Stealing, unwholesome talk, the off-colored joke. Bitterness, sin. Kids, did you hear all that bad stuff? Let me ask you a question, kids. What do you want to say to all that bad stuff? Yes or no? Kids? No. I see you shaking heads. No. Everyone, what do you want to say to that bad stuff? No. Then why do we still do it? I want to say no to all that too. And you do. And so we want to say no to sin, then why do we still do it? if we want to say no to it? That's a question that we want to answer today, and Ephesians 4 answers that for us. Why don't we say no to it? I remember talking to a parent recently about teenagers in high school who are promiscuous. And the parent said this: "Don't they know the sixth commandment? You shall not commit adultery." I think it was a rhetorical question, but it's the wrong question. Because teenage promiscuity is not an information problem. And it's really not an education problem either. It involves that, but that's not the problem. You know what the problem is? Whether it's teenage promiscuity or any sin of any of us, the Ephesians tells us what the real problem is. It's right here. Verse 18. "They are darkened in their understanding and separate from life of God, from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." Whew. All right, let's pick that apart. Let's go slow. So we're darkened in understanding. That's not the problem. That's a symptom of the problem. Okay, what's next? We're separated from the life of God. That's not the problem either, actually. That's the outcome of the problem. Okay, keep looking at this verse. Here's the cause of the problem, is ignorance. You know what? There's a deeper problem than that. And it's in here. The hardening of their hearts. See, sin, at its root level, is a heart problem. The reason that we want to say no to all that bad stuff that is in, here in Ephesians 4, we want to say no to it, but sometimes we can't say no to it, is not an information problem. Information can be helpful, but the real problem is it's a heart problem. And it says our hearts are hardened. They're closed off to God's ways. They're calloused, and God can't get in. So our heart says, our head says, "I'll never do that again," after we commit a sin. "I'll never do that again." And our heart says, whoa. It was kind of fun, you know. And our heart says, "I think I need that to be happy." And our heart says, "Hey, come on. I mean, everyone else is doing it. No one's going to get hurt." And our heart says, "It's just a silly church rule." So, do yourself a favor. The next time that you are repenting, which should be often for all of us, in your devotional time, here at church, any time throughout the day, before bed, when you get up in the morning, when you're repenting, do this. In your head, you tell God what your sin is, and tell him about it. He knows it already, but he wants you talking about it. You tell him about it from your head. And then from your heart, tell him about it too. And when your heart repents, here's what it sounds like: "God, if I'm honest, I'm sorry I did that, but if I'm honest, I did it because I wanted to. And I did it because I loved that in that moment more than I loved you. And God, I don't want to do that, but sometimes I can't say no to that. God, I'm not as in control as I want to be. God, I feel like I'm juggling, and I'm grabbing onto other things, and I'm leaving you in the air. Or maybe sometimes dropping you altogether." That's what heart sounds like in repentance. The reason we have a problem saying no to sin and yes to God is because we have a heart problem. So Proverbs 4, verse 23, here's a great Bible verse. This could be a top 10 Bible verse for all of us. It says, "Above all, guard your heart, because everything else flows from it." The Bible says that's how important this issue is. It's not an information, it's a heart problem. So pay attention to your heart, the Bible says. Now, here's the good news. Guarding your heart is not the solution, it's you putting the solution into practice. The solution doesn't lie in our hands. Or we would never leave God in the air. We would never drop him. We'd never sin. We can't control this. The solution is God's solution, and he performs a heart transplant. And this verse from Ezekiel talks about that heart transplant. And when I say heart, I'm not talking about your physical heart, but the spiritual you, the new self, the spirit. And it says, Ezekiel 36, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, the hard heart. I will remove it and give you a heart of flesh, living, breathing, beating, listening, open to God, loving. Where do you get such a heart? Where do you get such an attitude? Where do you get that spirit? God says, I will give it to you. He said this to hardened Israel in the Old Testament, and he says it to every one of you sinners out there, and this sinner too. The solution for my heart problem is that God gives me a new one, and then he wants me to use it to live like it. Do you know the story of Les Miserables, the novel written by Victor Hugo? In the musical of that story, the first scene in the musical is that Jean Valjean is in prison. And he's in prison for stealing a loaf of bread. And his sentence was 19 years in prison. He thought that was pretty unfair given the crime. And he got out of prison, and then as an ex-con, he couldn't find a job, and society was cruel to him as an ex-con. He stumbled into a church, and in that church, there was a bishop in that church who gave Jean Valjean food and shelter, and he let him stay in the church. And as he was in the church, these feelings of embitterment came back, and Jean Valjean became savage and selfish, and he stole silverware and silver plates from the church. And he hid them, and he left the church, having stolen the church's God's silver. He was caught shortly thereafter. He told the authorities, the bishop gave them to me. And the authorities kind of chuckled and said, well, let's go back to the bishop and ask him if that's true. They haul Jean Valjean back to the bishop and say to the bishop, here's this guy, he stole your silver, but he said you gave it to him. If you're familiar with the story, remember what the bishop said? The bishop looked not at the authorities, but at Jean Valjean, and he said, but my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind. You forget I gave you these also. And the bishop gave him these exquisite, valuable, expensive candlesticks, and then whispered in Jean Valjean's ear, God has raised you out of darkness. I have bought your soul for God. And the bishop didn't treat him like the criminal that he was. The bishop gave him a free pass, a free gift. He gave him another chance to change, and the challenge to now go out and to not be the man he was anymore. And in the novel, little spoiler alert here, he goes out and he's merciful and he's generous to everyone who crosses his path. What does God do for you and me? He gives us this free gift. And it changes us, and yet it challenges us. And he says, I want you to go and do what you couldn't do before, because I'm giving you this free gift, and I'm changing your heart, changing your life, changing your identity. What made Jean Valjean say no to criminal activity and yes to being merciful and generous to others? Not fear. Not the fear of punishment, not the fear of getting caught, not the fear of being an ex-con. What made him say no to sin and yes was that God was his yes. As the bishop said, God brought him out of darkness and saved his soul. What makes you able to truly say no to sin? That God is your yes. And the good news is that God has said yes to you. I want to finish up in that way here by giving another list here from Ephesians 4. And these are more words from Ephesians 4 about the good that we can say yes to. And so here's some more words from Ephesians 4. Truth, righteousness, holiness, speak truthfully, work, share with those in need, building others up, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, walk in the way of love. Kids, did you hear all those words? Those are really good words. What do you want to say to those words? No or yes? Yes, I see thumbs up and hear a yes. Everyone, what do you want to say to those words? No or yes? Yes. And we can say yes to all of them because God is our yes. And more important than us saying yes to him, know this, God says yes to you. Know your yes more clearly and confidently with more conviction. And that means spending time, quiet time, one-on-one time with God. Get to know him even better. Ask others to be spiritual mentors for you and to help guide your way. Be part of a church like Cross Life. It's a church family, and others can help guard and protect us. And through it all, we get closer to God, closer to each other. Here's three outstanding statements. I want to wrap Ephesians 4 up with these three outstanding statements about how God says yes to you. I could preach a sermon on each one of these, but we're just going to bullet point them here at the end. There's three of them. Number one, it says here, God the Son gives up lovingly his life for you. Verse 1 says, walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Secondly, God the Father loves you dearly. And it says you're part of his family. It says in verse 1, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Thirdly, God the Holy Spirit seals gladly. There's a verse in there that talks about the Holy Spirit, what he does. It tells us what not to do. And if we don't do that, the opposite is true. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And if we don't grieve him, then that means he's glad. So the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, that protects you like a phone screen, a phone protection, a clear phone protection piece on the screen, protects the screen. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you. You can still function, you can still operate, but he puts this protection over your heart. That's how you can say no to sin and yes to God, trusting in God, loving God, knowing him as your God. So this man was walking, was hiking near dangerous cliffs and mountains at night. He couldn't see. Because he couldn't see, he walked off the edge of the cliff and he tumbled down and down and he hit the side of the cliff and he was tumbling to his death and he grabbed onto a branch and it stopped his fall. And he was hanging onto the branch on this side of the cliff and he didn't know what to do and he couldn't see and he just called for help. Is anyone up there? And he heard a big booming voice. I can help. Let go of the branch. Oh, there's someone to help. What? Let go. So the next thing he said, is anyone else up there to help? He couldn't say no to the branch and yes to God because he didn't know God as a loving father, as a trustworthy savior. He couldn't say no to the branch and yes to God, and so he wasn't rescued. And by the way, hanging on the side of the cliff on that branch in the dark, if he had let go of the branch, the ground was 3 inches below his heels. Can you let go of what you think is so important to you getting in the way of God and say yes to God? Say yes. Yeah, because God is your yes. And he says yes to you. And when he asks you to say no to things, he knows things that you don't. Say yes to God for a better life, for a clear picture of who God is. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this message today, for the book of Ephesians and how it guides our way. Thank you for the depth and the height and the width of your love for us. Thank you for being our yes. Teach us more often to say yes to you and no to sin. To say yes to you, not out of fear of punishment, fear of getting caught, fear of messing up the rules, but to say yes to you because we love you like you love us. Remind us of your love for us in Christ Jesus, our Savior, and guide our way today and this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.